2020.
Yes.
So in 4 years, you managed to make it a seven-figure company.
Yes.
Okay, how old are you?
Currently, I'm 24.
Very good. Not bad. Not bad for 24. How did you start it off? How did you turn it into a business? What was the first step you took?
It's actually very interesting. I used to work in a restaurant industry. I used to work as a waitress because I always felt like I have some bigger purpose in my life. Mm. I started building from absolute zero experience in how business works. I really didn't believe in myself that I could do anything like this.
University. So yeah. You finished high school?
I finished high school. Yeah, I was in university in my second year.
Okay. But did you finish that?
No, I didn't. I dropped out of university second year. Yeah, and then I started in my kitchen. That's where I was making all of my products. At that time, I lost all of my friends.
Oof.
Yes, just happened, right? When it's meant to be, it's meant to be also. If you're a beautiful girl, right? They all instantly assume that you're an escort or you're making money through men, right?
Mm.
So when people ask me, what do I do for a living? It's almost like I think they're implying, are you an escort or not?
What do you think was one of the biggest factors of success in your journey? How did it also impact your intimate relationships?
The thing about being an entrepreneurial woman is that personally for me, if I'm making this amount of money, I want my partner to be making way more. Just so.
Oof, that's a very controversial thing though.
قبل ما نكمل الحلقة تأكدوا تزورونا على موقعنا hightech.com بحال بدكم تدعمونا.
بالإضافة إذا كان عندك عمل تجاري أو بودكاست عبالك تبلشها أو تكبرها، تعرف على جميع خدماتنا من استشارة بودكاست، تسويق رقمي وإنتاج. وآخر شي بطلبوا منكم سبسكرايب على يوتيوب وتابعونا على جميع مواقع التواصل. وهلأ خلينا نكمل الحلقة. Hello everyone, welcome today to another episode here on Higher Take. Today we have someone very inspirational, and I wanted to get to know her better because I believe her story might really inspire other entrepreneurs. At the end of the day, I believe she achieved results that many people want to achieve. She started a business from scratch. Now it's a six-figure company. So that's why I wanted to bring her here, share her story. I want to give a very warm welcome to Ella. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
How's everything going?
Everything is going great. Thanks for a beautiful introduction.
Of course.
Remarks. It's a seven-figure company.
Seven-figure. So. My apologies. We'll fix that. Yeah. Seven-figure company.
Seven-figure company.
How does it feel achieving that?
Well, the vision that I have. Well, first of all, let me introduce myself for everybody who sees me the first time, which is probably everybody on this channel. My name is Ella, and I'm the founder of My Magic Healer. We're a natural skin healing company that is an alternative to antibiotic steroids and harsh topicals.
Mm.
So I started this company back in 2020. Yes.
So in 4 years, you managed to make it a seven-figure company.
Yes.
Okay, how old are you?
Currently, I'm 24.
Very good. Not bad. Not bad for 24.
So the vision for my company, you said, if I'm happy that it's a seven-figure company and I built this for in a span of 4 years. My vision is definitely much bigger than this. And the vision is make it number one company in the world. And during the podcast, we'll go into like how I started and what got me to where I want to be.
Course.
You
said you wanted it to be the number one company in the world. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Like you want it to be the number one company in that domain?
Yeah.
So it's called My Magic Healer. It's can you tell me just a bit more about the products so we understand it more? So
definitely,
what is it? What
definitely.
Is it healing? You know?
Yes. So My Magic Healer, it's the company that I started. Like every single entrepreneur, they start a company because they have some personal struggle, right? And for me, my personal struggle were a lot of different skin issues. And specifically, I used to deal with boils from staph infection.
Okay.
And so when I was 13, I used to have that. And for a year, I've been trying different antibiotics, different creams. I went to doctors. And also throughout the whole life, I had different issues pop up.
Mm.
So my grandma made me this product that basically
your grandma.
My grandma. So nice. It all started with my grandma. Mm. And thanks to my grandma, now, you know, I have a job.
You have a company.
I have a company that I absolutely love. So yeah, I had the boil on my eyebrow here.
Okay.
And doctor said we have to cut open it and lens it. So lensing is like a surgery. When you open it, then you kind of drain this boil. Mm. And my grandma said we're not gonna do it because it's gonna leave a scarring. So then she had a friend, and she was a 70-year-old surgeon, and she recommended to make this product. Mm. And this product in traditional medicine heals 100 skin issues. So it's a very versatile product that heals things like eczema, acne, burns, cuts, infections, boils, aftershave irritations, anal fissures. Mm. Or anybody who out there who deals with that stuff. So it's very versatile, heals like painful skin, right? Inflamed skin. And it healed my boil on the eyebrow within a week.
Wow.
So, yeah, so the skin went from like very inflamed, very painful bump to just fully healed.
In a week. And how long does the usual process take if you go to like the normal medications that are there, not the natural ones that you have?
The normal for boil specifically, it can take anywhere. It's first of all, it's a very complex process when you have a boil, because it starts from like one little red bump, and it can overnight it can become very painful, big and inflamed. And then person can it's very hard for you to physically operate because it's very painful, and it can last from 2 weeks to months. So like it's not an easy skin issue to deal with. So with this product, the healing time went down to 2 or 3 times lower than what it usually took.
Wow, and 2 to 3 times lower than what usually takes, and it didn't involve any surgery of a kind.
No, and it worked way better than anything I've tried before for the whole year.
Wow.
So it really changed my life, like the way nothing else did. And that product became like a staple in my family's house because we use on different things. You can use it as even moisturizer.
Really?
Yeah. So actually the key ingredient in this product is egg yolk oil and propolis.
Propolis and egg yolk oil.
Yeah. So we use actual eggs to make this product.
Okay.
So it's a very unique product with very unique formula. And so it became like a staple in our family's house. And back in 2020, I decided that I can offer this product to more people, and that's how I got started.
Beautiful, beautiful way to get started. And you know, how big, you know, of a target audience do you think you have? Like, many people suffer from what you have suffered as well. Is it more appeared in Canada in certain regions, or it's widespread
worldwide,
everywhere?
Yeah, so I'm very big on health, as you know.
Yeah.
And the skin issues, because it's something I always dealt with. And the target is basically the whole world. Because the more I'm in this space, the more I like talk to people and just understand people, I see that everybody has something on their skin. Or I'm not sure, maybe 95% of people are dealing something with their skin, whether it's acne, which is the most common skin issue people deal with.
So it helps with acne as well.
Yeah.
So people, if they have like, you know, on their face.
Yeah, especially like, especially if it's very inflamed and like cystic acne. Because,
I might have one here right now.
You should. You should?
Okay.
I should give it to you. Actually, I should have brought it for you.
Yeah.
Like a little sample.
It's fine. We'll include it. We'll show the people the very, very, very interesting. So very inspirational story. How it all started, how you got an idea, and that's the drive. But you know what's interesting is that, okay, you got the recipe from your grandma, you applied it to yourself, you got cured. But what made you be like, okay, this is like an actual good idea, and how did you start it off? How did you turn it, okay, into a business? What was the first step you took?
It's actually very interesting. So I used to work in a restaurant industry. I used to work as a waitress. But when I was younger, I was always saying I was gonna have my own business, but I had no idea, zero. It just was just something that I was saying it for. At that time, I thought no reason. And when I was working at a bar, and basically I quit the job because I got tired of it. It was COVID back then, and
the waitressing job.
The waitressing, yeah. I just didn't feel like it was aligning with me anymore. And I remember I was journaling in my journal and saying like, God, please help me. What do I need to do? What's my next step in life, right? Because I always felt like I have some bigger purpose in my life. So I journaled that. And then 3 days later, I get an idea. To basically start selling this product because it has changed my life so much. My family used it, changed their lives. And I was like, if people have access to this product, it will change absolutely their lives too.
Mm.
Especially with type of issues we help with. So basically that's the idea that I got. And from there, I started building from absolute zero experience in how business works. I really didn't believe in myself that I could do anything like this. But as time went by, people started discovering the product, seeing how it works in real life, seeing how it transforms skin. And from there, we started growing.
Amazing. You mentioned something interesting, journaling. Is that some common practice that you have been doing? Are you still doing it? Maybe now you don't have time. I don't know. But
it's
like,
huge.
So you still do it?
Yeah.
So every day?
Yes.
How much do you write, like a page or like two sentences, you know? Because I've always heard, I don't do it myself, but I think it's very interesting. Is it on the iPhone? Is it you write it? It's the actual book.
So actually journaling is a very powerful practice for people who want to succeed in life and who want to build greater things. And for me, there's different type of journalings. Some people, you know, journal just their thoughts and they're communicating. For me, I call this programming.
Programming.
Yes.
Okay.
So every single day, every single morning, I have a journal and the whole page, I just write down, I am this, I am this, I am this, I am, and just whatever comes to my mind in this moment, I just write it down. And that's what I call programming, because every single day you just remind yourself who you are, because ultimately your thoughts shape your reality. And that's honestly the secret to the success. Just keep reaffirming who you are. Keep reaffirming your vision and like, what do you want to do in this life?
100%.
So you should do it.
I need to. I think journaling is. I always try to, but I think it's a good habit to have. But again, how, like, do you spend like 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Is it something you put like half an hour, you know?
I make it super easy.
Make it easy.
You make it as easy as possible, because if you're not able to stick to it, you're not gonna do it. For me, very easy. I just have a journal, just write down, I am this, this, this. And it's like, I set the tone for the day. And maybe 5 minutes, if not less. So it's super simple.
Beautiful.
Yeah, especially in this way where you're just kind of creating, like, it's like, you know, you're the scriptwriter of your own movie.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it is, yeah.
And then you can publish it maybe someday.
Yeah. I have lots of journals, like, stacked.
There'll be like volumes. But back to the business. So you said you were waitressing, right? You didn't like it. You had that skin issue. You found a solution. I'm just interested in understanding where you were in that point of your life. So were you in high school? Were you in university? Or were you just working? So if you can give us a bit of context there.
So I was working part-time job as a waitress 3 times a week. And as a waitress in Canada, it's always good money because you have a lot of tips. Plus you have your hourly wage. So money-wise, I was always good. Even working 3 times a week, part-time job, I was still making more than most of the people who work in 9 to 5. You know? Yeah, because you get like $200 a night plus your hourly wage.
Wow.
So
that's good. Yeah, let's go.
Good to know. And But then, you know, it became to a point where I just didn't feel fulfilled. And also before that, I was enjoying waitressing job.
Okay, were you only waitressing? Were you studying?
No, and then I was also doing university.
University. So yeah. You finished high school.
I finished high school. Yeah, I was in university in my second year.
What were you studying?
I was studying business and financial economics.
Okay. But did you finish that?
No, I didn't. I actually dropped out of high school. Sorry, I dropped out of university second year. So I finished second year and I dropped for third and fourth. But that is because I never went to university to kind of for the career. I was always saying that I'm going to university until I find out what I want to do. And the moment I found that I want to start building a company, then university became like unnecessary for me personally.
But it's a difficult decision. That's one, leaving university, because like it's, let's say, a certificate, you know, that allows you to work in certain places, corporate jobs. So, I see there's a lot of issues with the way things are taught, maybe in universities, even in high school, that's for sure. But what gave you the comfort to خلاص drop out, you know, like did the company already, did you already start working on that company? Did you already have money saved up to invest in it? Did you have anyone backing you to be able to take this decision?
So to drop out of university, I decided to take 1 year break.
Okay, so before like completely dropping off, you said, okay, I'm going to take a 1 year break. Yeah.
Let me just turn off.
It's fine, no worries.
So yes, I did take 1 year break. And then I was like, during this 1 year, I will start building the company. And I also had money saved on the side. I had $50,000 saved. So that gave me a lot of comfort to not work and just focus on the company.
Okay. So you said, I'll take a gap year, stop waitressing, focus on my business with what I've saved up. Mm-hmm. Fantastic way of doing it. I think it's brilliant the way you approached it. You saved some money, then you went and started off. So how were building the first pieces of the puzzle, you know, for that business? So how did you start off? You know, you got this recipe from your grandma. I'm sure the first time she did it was maybe in a bowl and she mixed a couple of stuff. So
exactly.
I'm sure you had to like find the right packaging for the product, and then you had to test, because at the end of the day, maybe such products, skin products, need a bit of testing. And then how did you make your first sales?
Okay, so the beginning was probably the most interesting, because that's where you have the most, like, I don't know what to do, but I feel like I need to do something and go into that direction. So you're basing entirely on your gut feeling. And even if I didn't have those savings, or, you know, if I didn't have money, because of this internal like call that I need to start this company, I would still start, and there still would be a way for me to do this, right? So the beginning was, I was crying a lot. I was trying to figure out, I was living with my parents back then in like a little bedroom and in on a twin bed. And I was like trying to figure out what name for the business I should, you know, come up with. What type of labeling? I was designing labels myself, and I had no idea anything about design. I was just using Canva, and I hate design, so that totally made me cry. And I was trying to understand what is like how to do websites, which was another whole story. It was taking a lot of like not leap of faith, but you were just taking a lot of chance on yourself by yourself, because nobody really knew what you were doing. My family had no idea. They just knew that
you're working on something.
Yeah, they just knew I'm working on something. So you just have to keep going and just keep doing something until it turns into something, basically.
Exactly. You got to keep on going, yeah.
Yeah, and then I started in my kitchen. That's where I was making all of my products. It was very neat, you know. It's very like personal, I guess. Like you're making each jar, right? You're labeling each jar handmade. Everything is very...
So you sell them in jars at first. That's what I'm...
Yeah, but I still sell them in jars.
You still sell them in jars.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, nice. And then you built your website yourself in the beginning.
You were asking me how did I market it? How did I get my first sales?
How did you get your first sales, right?
Okay, so because website, when I started my first website, it was not functioning and it was not working. So
what did you use, if you don't mind me asking?
I used WordPress.
Okay.
Yeah, it was WordPress.
Disaster.
What I'm gonna say. So I never really had a proper website, and I was taking my orders through Instagram, and people were paying me through PayPal.
Wow.
So it was very handmade.
Okay, very good. But how did you reach these initial people? I'm sure you got maybe some family, friends supporting you.
No.
No. So you directly reached actual people that needed.
Yes.
Okay, through Instagram. That was the first place.
So through Instagram, I started posting. But remember a surge of TikTok?
Yes. That.
So I just felt that the only way I can start selling products is if I go on TikTok. So that's what I did. Oh, and I remember in my room, I was making
dances.
No, I was not. I was just selling. I was just selling, literally.
Wow.
I was if you scroll down all the way through my TikTok, it's the most cringiest TikToks you will ever see. But it's hello guys, or just, this is the product that will heal this, and I was just advertising like a salesman, and I actually never considered myself a salesman
until
I started doing TikToks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a very good way of starting. So you started through TikTok, Instagram, people reached out, you sent
organic content. That's how I grew.
Organic content.
I never.
But how long did it take you since you started, until you made your first sales? Was it 6 months, a year or more? I don't know.
For my first sale?
Your first couple of sales, couple of sales.
It was 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah.
To get everything ready, the product, to put packaging it right, knowing how to ship it, 8 months.
Yeah, I think 8 months and, or maybe six. And then on 8 months, one of my video on TikTok went viral.
Viral, okay.
So that's how, you
get. What's the pricing of your products?
It costs, we have different sizes. It goes from $25 to $60. Okay. So the biggest size is $60. And that's the people who have a lot of chronic skin issues and, who constantly need to use a product to, heal these issues. And then there is $40. That's if people have occasional skin issues, something pops on their head, on the forehead.
Thank you. خلاص هلا I'll put.
Yes, so there's that.
Okay, it's very interesting. And what was, would you say, the biggest challenge, in that beginning part? I mean, you mentioned it was difficult, you cried on designs, but was there anything else that you consider significant in that start?
I think the most significant is when you have an internal feeling that you need to build something that will help people and help the planet. You have a vision internal vision that you're going to have a company, you're going to make a global impact in the world. But, and then you look at yourself at that moment and you're far away from that. So what's the difference between a person who's building this vision versus a person who's not doing anything? It's literally self-belief and just believing in yourself that you can be there one day if you, if you do things step by step.
And where do you think that drive came from? You're saying there's this drive, there's this vision.
Mm-hmm. Where did it come from?
Which I love, where did it come from? Because there's, a lot of people out there that they might have the most brilliant idea, but there's just no drive. They're like, خلاص, I don't know how to do it. I'm not gonna pursue it.
So that's the self-belief that you have to open within. And I think it really opens when you connect with yourself. So for me, a lot of my success was actually due to, at that time, I lost all of my friends.
Oof.
Yes. Just happened, right? When it's meant to be, it's meant to be also.
For sure. For sure.
So I didn't have anybody to talk to. So the only person who I was spending time with were my sisters and myself. And when you are with yourself one-on-one, that's when you have ultimate connection, and that's when this confidence to go after what you want starts opening up. Because when you are in surrounded by people, by distractions, you're going out, you know, you're doing this and doing that, you're not gonna have a courage ever to start anything that you want. But when you with yourself in the room, sitting, not doing anything, you just like start thinking, and from there you start acting. You start doing something because you're bored, and also you know you just like might as well. You have nothing to lose.
Do you think during potentially your childhood or that phase you suffered before starting your business, you suffered some kind of a traumatic experience?
There is a bit. I'm just joking.
There is a bit.
I think everybody went through some traumatic experience, but I would not say it's traumatic. It's like, because I grew up in Ukraine, first of all, in a very small city. It's 50,000 people.
Oh, wow. Small right? city. Which one?
Called Novovolinsk.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't know it. But
you wouldn't know.
Maybe some people
Maybe
know
some
it,
people
yeah.
know. And so it's a very small city. There is no space for, you know, thinking that you're going to be something, you know. You're just growing there. But then we moved to Canada. I grew up with mom, and then my dad stayed in Ukraine. Mm. But if I think about it, there was no traumatic experience. I think it was like internal confidence that I'm going to be something. Or maybe the traumatic experience was that I never felt I could fit into the like my peers. Mm. I always felt I was kind of different. You know, I couldn't like relate a lot. Mm. So that also made me feel more alone. And especially when I moved to Canada, I didn't speak English. So a lot of people were looking down on me because, you know, I couldn't communicate with them.
I mean, that is, so, I would say,
that is actually the traumatic experience.
That is more or less a traumatic experience, of course, but you're feeling lonely,
yeah.
not able to communicate, people looking down on you.
And definitely. I think that motivated me to almost like internally, I want to prove that there is some sort of worth to me. And I think that's how I started going to that direction of like, I want to build something great. So maybe, you know, people start seeing me for something else.
So you also wanted to prove yourself in a way. Like,
I think internally it triggered something like this, but it wasn't direct.
It wasn't direct. No, definitely I understand where you're coming from, because I believe trauma could be related to it could be related to someone having this self-motivation to work hard, to pursue bigger passion, bigger dreams.
Yeah,
and as you mentioned, you know, you moved from one country to another, you didn't know the language, people didn't really, you know, accept you for you. And you wanted to prove something, that you're not just, you know, another girl, you know, and that you were more than that. You're more than just someone who's waitressing. You wanted to achieve more. And this is the drive, you know, that you got to be able to pursue this business. And I think those experiences are what shape people's mindset. This is what shaped your mindset, right? Because you said you lost your friends. Like, you went through a phase where you're more or less alone.
Mm-hmm.
You lost your friends. And I share this feeling with you, because along, you know, the entrepreneurship journey, I lost some friends because they didn't align with my vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I felt like I wanted to grow. I want to achieve things. Some friends just wanted to go party, you know, every single week. And I was like, okay, like, I don't want
to
do that.
And I think it's super important to be able to cut out those people when they're no longer aligning. Because if you're not doing that, then they're going to pull you back, you know, backwards. And I think for everybody who's ambitious, who has entrepreneurial, you know, skills and abilities and passion, they need to be able to choose themselves always. And then, you know, and then once they're choosing themselves, then the right people will always come into their field.
And I wanted to mention something. In your journey right now, did you partnered with someone, or are you like a solo entrepreneur, and up until now a solo entrepreneur?
Solo entrepreneur, you mean?
So like, are you a founder on your own of My Magic Healer, mm-hmm. or did you get a co-founder with you to build this company and grow it?
I'm 100%. 100%. Yeah, owner, the founder of My Magic Healer, and I have my team. Mm. And I have my older sister. She's a creative director. So she's like my right hand who really helps me. And the beautiful thing about us, that both of us are two opposites. So I'm more on a strategist, you know, growth, expansion, mindset, right? And she's more of a creative brand. The way brand looks right now is thanks to her. She's more of an artist and, you know, she wants to make things beautiful. So it just worked out the way that, you know, we both were raised in the same family. She has also a vision to make a global impact in the world, and two of our vision aligned. So now we're like together building the company, but at the same time, I'm still owning 100% of the company.
You know, something interesting, you know, while getting to know you, Ella, you mentioned here in Dubai, it's very common for people to ask, hey, what's your name? And like, where do you live? And like a second, third question, what do you do for a living? You know, what do you work? Where do you work? That's more or less something that's done in Dubai. You said you didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So I have a personal issue with this question. And actually, when I came to Dubai, I realized that it's a very common question to ask, but here's my issue with it. So Dubai is a very interesting country, and it's known for a lot of things, right?
Right. And you can mention whatever.
So Dubai is a very beautiful country, and a lot of people make money here through offering, like, you know, beautiful girls.
There are some escorts.
So there's a lot of escorts there, right?
From exactly. The same nationality that you share.
And exactly. So there is a lot of escorts who are Ukrainians and Russians. And if you're a beautiful girl, right, they all instantly assume that you're an escort or you're making money through men, right? So when people ask me, what do I do for a living? It's almost like I think they're implying, are you an escort or not? And also another issue that I have with this question is that people, if people are know that you have a company and you're making your own money and it's a successful company, then they do want to network with you and they want to connect with you. But if you're not making, you know, as much money as they would like you to make, or you're more in a lower position, then they instantly look at you as you're like a loser. So there is a big, like, it makes a big difference. But if people don't know what you do for a living and they just get to know you for who you are as a person, then it's a different relationship that you're building, right?
For sure.
So I think that's also another issue that I have with this.
No, I totally agree with the second point. I mean, yeah, I do think like, you know, some people would like to ask that question, you know, to see if, okay, should I carry on this conversation? Should I not carry on this conversation? Maybe that, but the first part of it, I would say the first part of what you said regarding escorts, you think you were approached in a way where someone thought you were an escort?
Yeah, I think if you're, you know, if you have a beautiful body, beautiful face with a little bit of makeup, it's people approach
and
you.
And because you,
and especially Ukrainian, though.
Especially if, Ukrainian.
When they ask what's your nationality, you say Ukrainian. So I usually say Canadian, and then eventually I say Ukrainian. I think it's common within the, like, the group of females who are beautiful and successful. The first thing that a lot of people assume about them is that they are escorts.
Yeah, I do see where you're coming from, definitely. And something like I think there are lots of men out there that need to cleanse the way they think, for sure. And where you're coming from, it's like you're not just like another pretty face out there. Like definitely. You actually, you know, you worked hard to get where you are today, and that general thought that some people have, it definitely should not be there. But I think in regards to that, you know, it's what would you do? You would avoid the question, just be like, I know you don't like to share it right now, or what would you do if someone would ask you?
Sometimes I'll just say it.
Yeah.
But also, whenever a person's asking me what I do for a living, sometimes it's, you can just see their intentions.
Yeah.
One person asks just to ask to see if you're doing something valuable or not. And somebody just asks just, you know, because it's a culture.
Mm.
So whenever
that, so you can a bit sense, I
can,
like,
you can definitely
because
sense.
Some people just ask, you know, in order to make conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's, it's a different energy.
Yeah.
When somebody's doing it for their personal gain, it's you instantly feel
you
it.
You can feel
and
it,
you're
it
like,
as well.
Yeah. You don't want to really build their relationship at that point.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Now, and that's also something that also builds your character, you know, to be able to identify different people, different intentions. And heading back to the business, you know, we talked about how it started. Now I'm more interested, I'm also interested to know, how did it grow from there? Okay, so you started it, you had the foundations, the basis. How did you grow it to make it a 7-figure company? You know, how did you grow your sales? Is it through lots of organic TikTok? Did you do any ads? Did you improve your website? Which channel did you rely on the most?
So business is like, when you have a business, it's all about personal growth.
Mm.
And the faster you can start growing yourself, the faster you're going to grow your business, right?
Right.
And for me, for like, we did a lot, like every single day, there is always improvements and focus on how can I make it better.
Mm.
So for example, for website, we redid our website, I think 7 times already. And it's constantly improving.
Yeah.
So if you've seen the first version, you would cry. Yeah. And then now it's much better. So for sales, we're currently focusing on organic content, but we realize if we want to scale it to 8-figure company, then it has to be done through paid ads, you know, different sales channels. So it's definitely where we are heading. We started things like email marketing, organic content, influencers, different collaborations. For collaborations, we like to work with people who actually have skin issues, who are able to use the product and give their genuine feedback. So
testimonials.
And when people have skin issues and there are creators, because there is a lot of people like this, they genuinely advertise the product because it really helps them. So we have quite a bit of those creators as well, and that's how we also grow.
Mm.
And yeah, our next step is actually Facebook ads, which is a whole.
So you haven't started like lots of ads?
No, it's all organic.
All organic.
Yeah, which for a lot of people, entrepreneurs, when I share about this, they're mind blown.
Yes.
And actually,
organic.
The
content,
community
yeah.
that we have built, and the way the product, the way how the product heals people's skin issues, is just so drastic that people, you know, end up recommending to their family, their friends. So the huge growth also happens through word of the mouth.
Mm.
And we also sell on Amazon USA and Amazon Canada.
Okay. And where currently is your biggest market right now?
US.
The US, bigger than Canada?
Definitely. Much bigger.
Much bigger.
Yeah.
And is there a specific like state, or it's
California, Texas?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Like,
okay.
Maybe
okay,
that's
okay.
how they discover us.
Yeah. And like, how do you plan on expanding further? Maybe targeting some people here in the UAE, for example, you know, KSA.
We have actually a lot of people from UAE reaching out and asking, do we deliver our products here?
Do you?
We currently don't.
Okay.
I think we don't.
Okay.
I need to double check. So yeah, we're definitely planning, and the way we're planning to do it is to register on Amazon UAE, which would be amazing way to get your products delivered within a very short period of time. Makes it, that's 100%. Why we love Amazon, because it makes things super convenient. And that's the thing for a lot of people. As soon as they find about our product, they want to have it right away.
Mm.
So that's our next step, is to expand globally. Right now we ship internationally, just from our website.
Mm.
But if you know, the next steps is definitely to have it, our products in every single Amazon worldwide.
Mm. That's worldwide.
Definitely.
You know, I just want to get back to the point before we continue about the business, about, you know, the looks you mentioned, the beauty and how people perceive mm-hmm. you. But don't you think, you know, the way you look, you know, and also your beauty helps you also to make these sales, get certain agreements as well?
Definitely not at this point.
Definitely not.
At this point, no.
So you said you do lots of organic content mm-hmm. on TikTok. So yeah. You're showing on TikTok,
but
yourself.
Yes. But
so you would say also that, like, what I'm trying to say is, like, I think the looks also, especially for women potentially, you know, even for men, has pros and cons, I believe.
Honestly, like,
it does help potentially with the sales on TikTok if you're posting yourself, you know, like, yeah, I mean, you might get more attention than...
I'm thinking right now if it does affect, because the way I show up on TikTok, like, no makeup, not the hairs, like, sometimes makeup.
But like, also organic beauty is what people also look at.
That's a good point. What if, I mean, if...
You know, the point that I just wanted to raise here is that, yes, I mean, there's some drawbacks and, like, you know, being like, okay, Ukrainian with the accent.
But I'm definitely
and
not complaining.
Looks. Yeah, you know, like but also
but
it helps you in other areas.
Definitely
because
it does.
Like, of course, people can be at the end of the day, listen, someone can be the most beautiful person in the world, but it doesn't matter if there's no head, there's no brain in the head at the end of the day. Like, you always need to be also smart in life decisions, which obviously you have done. But I'm trying to just showcase that, yes, looks can attract this very negative vibes and energy that you mentioned, but you can leverage it in other ways, like
definitely.
You mentioned.
Definitely, I will say that. You definitely can leverage your beauty.
Just being smart about it. And so back to the business. Yes, Amazon, I believe, really helps you. But something about Amazon, like, how do you guys get up in the ranking? Do you put, like, a bit of I know you can put your product as sponsored. I think you pay for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so we do Amazon ads. Actually, on Amazon USA, our product is number one bestseller within the niche that we're in.
Mm.
So things like, so basically whenever people find about us, then they go to Amazon and they see it's number one bestseller, then they check reviews. And then, you know, most likely they have skin issues, because we also help 100 skin issues. So there is a lot of wide variety, and they see this is a product that's credible. And, you know, they check reviews and then they decide to make a purchase.
And do you have any significant competition in terms of your product?
It's actually very interesting, because we are definitely standing out the way we approach and the way our vision is in the world. We are standing out a lot from other people and other companies, because we focus a lot on not just healing skin issues, but the way we, you know, approach, like, creating community around it. We also put a lot of information on how you can heal yourself from inside, right? Which not a lot of companies do, but we focus on delivering information holistically. So if you're using our product, you can also help your skin healing journey by adding these type of foods into your diet, which that's also what I went through myself. Not just the product that has helped me tremendously in so many of my skin issues, but also the diet that I've been, you know, and, like, a lot of research into what it takes to heal me and that type of stuff.
I've seen it, because I believe it's not you market, the way you brand yourself is that you offer an amazing product, but yes, you're also trying to say that it's not just about the product. You're trying to send out that a message, you know, that it's message. About healing yourself personally, what you're eating, your diet, the way you think as well, because but like if you stress a lot, that's going to impact your skin as well. So you have to, okay, the product will help you for sure, but it's about your holistic lifestyle,
and that's,
which is beautiful.
That is the huge vision of My Magic Healer, is to let people know that the way you eat, your lifestyle directly impacts, you know, your health and your skin issues. And not a lot of people know that, right?
There's something that you, when I was getting to know you, you told me you do a lot every morning. You drink a lot of it, which is the spinach. And
spinach pill, I call it.
Spinach pill. So you put a bunch of spinach.
You just have to put a bunch of spinach mixed with water. And I put 200 grams of spinach, which like end up being like 3 cups.
Yeah.
And I just chug it.
Okay. Every morning.
It's
every morning.
Yeah, every morning. Wow. But before coming to Dubai, I was drinking 32 ounces of celery every single morning.
Okay.
But when I started drinking spinach pill, it like improved my health so much more. And I'm truly impressed, because you see how I'm advertising it on my Instagram. It's incredible. I tell to every single person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how's it like working, you know, with influencers? Is it are they difficult, reasonable pricing, or do you have more ambassadors? How do you tackle it from that end?
So influencers, the influencer market is definitely crazy in terms of their prices. One video, $10,000, $30,000. It's unbelievable. I truly think, so my sister deals a lot with the influencers and like picking which ones, you know, we can work with. And we haven't paid $10,000 to any influencers, just heads up. But there are people who just say, oh yeah, for this video, it will be $30,000, like truly. And
that's crazy.
And we just think it's truly unbelievable. You know, the influencer market can be definitely harsh, because also when you pay this amount, you're not really guaranteed to get
anything,
right? You just post, you just pay, they post it, and if it performs, it performs. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So we try to work with people who have skin issues and work with them on a regular basis, because that builds trust, you know. They able to use the product and, you know, for different issues, and then also share their experience with people. So that's the type of influencers we go for. We really focus on building very authentic relationship rather than, I know you don't have skin issues, we're just going to send you the product, advertise it, push it, and it's good. We don't do this stuff. We do it in a very like genuine way. Yeah.
Which I think is a smart way also.
Exactly. And more sustainable in the long run, because people still know, like people still feel whenever you just try to push the product, versus when you're truly trying to help because you went through it yourself and you know what it takes, like mental and physical wise, like physical health, you know what it takes, and you just want to make a difference.
I'm fascinated by, you know, how after a very short 4 years, you know, you've grasped all of this knowledge, these sustainable approaches to grow your business. How were you able to acquire this knowledge? Like, did you test, try, fail? Did you learn a lot? Did you read a lot? What did you do?
Honestly, it was, most of it was entirely on gut feeling and connection to yourself, which worked like a charm. Yeah, it was, a lot of it is like, oh, I have a gut feeling to do this, so I'm doing this. Oh, I have an idea to do this, then I'm doing this. So you can learn anything you want, right? And what gets you successful is when you have a vision and then you receive your ideas and then you actually act on it. So the key to success is to act on these ideas within one day. If you didn't act on this idea that you received in your head, that means you just lost this idea, and, you know,
decision making
is the key in business. There is no sitting and waiting and hoping things will come on its own. You know, you just have to decide. Yeah, you just have to do it. Just do it. Simple as that.
Man, Nike. Just do it. They told it. They sold they it finessed. From everyone. Yes. They finessed it.
Yeah, they know what's up.
Yeah, they know what's up. What do you think was one of the biggest factors of success in your journey?
Like I mentioned in the beginning, it's definitely self-belief.
Self-belief.
It's developing this internal strength and support that you can do it. Because if it's in your head, if there is something in your head, it's 100% doable. Because if it wasn't in your head, you wouldn't be able to do it. So whenever you have a vision, and every single person who have an idea to do something, for example, for you, is bringing this podcast to be number one in the UAE, right?
Definitely. And the region.
And region, you know, right? So it's 100% doable. There is no such a thing as it might not work out. If it's in your head, you can achieve it. So now what do you do? Is constantly, and this is where the journaling and programming comes very powerful, because imagine every single day you tell yourself, I own number one podcast in the world. I own number one company, skin healing company in the world. And you tell yourself every single day. And what your brain does is like a trained dog. You train your brain to start thinking, how am I number one podcast or company in the world, right?
100%.
And that's the key factor. If you can stay focused on your goal and constantly telling yourself, this is what I am, then ideas come, then you execute, you start, you know, moving step by step. Different situations like come up in your life where you're either forced to do something, or, you know, right people come into your life, and that's how you start executing the vision that you always had in your head. But if when people have the vision in their head and they're distracted, they're just, the only thing they're lacking is the focus. So if they can direct focus in their desired like vision, it's so possible to achieve.
Beautiful stuff. I really agree with what you said. Now, if we want to flip the coin, what was the biggest hit you took during this journey? Where were you like, oh, fuck, that was bad? Or where was the biggest learning or biggest moment of desperation during that journey from start to now?
Probably when you have your own business, it happens every other day, right? Mm. Not the failings, but experiences. I don't know if I have anything like very specific, very big, like a hit that I see. I think there's always hits. And the only thing that matters is how you react to it. And if you can just look at this hit as an opportunity for you to come to the next level, then, and you know, you just look at it, you don't react, you don't put your emotions to it, because the moment you start putting emotions, you start creating scarcity, right? But if you're like, okay, this is the situation, cold-minded, how do I resolve this? How do I not repeat this again? Because this is the lesson for me, and then move forward. If I think of the biggest hit, I don't know, like things with packaging, like we just had... We were supposed to have 10,000 boxes come to our facility, but it got delayed, went back to China because we get from Alibaba. And now we're basically improvising to use simple plain boxes until they arrive. Things like that.
But it's good thinking, agility. You're just thinking of solutions and then...
Yeah, it's just solutions. Improve. Because manifestation, I'm huge on manifestation. Yeah, 100%. If you put emotion into something that you're afraid of, or, you know, you think it's very, very bad, then that emotion starts to create reality in a different way. But if you can just be like, okay, this has just happened. This is the situation. What can I do? How can I solve? It becomes like not even a problem.
Do you think that entrepreneurship journey, you definitely said it impacts your relationships with people? You lost lots of people. How did it also impact your intimate relationships? Like,
it's a good question.
Yeah, like especially for you know, like not especially, but like I'm interested to know, like for a successful woman, like how does it impact it? Because it might be similar, it might be different. So that's why I'd like to hear from you.
Definitely. So the thing about being entrepreneurial woman is that your energy is very strong. You're very driven. You have a lot of masculine energy. And when you are in relationships with somebody who's not as, let's say, strong or driven, you end up kind of putting them down with your strong energy. So when a man is, you know, is entrepreneur, it's amazing because woman instantly feels protected, feels safe, feels very comfortable with a strong man around. Mm. But when it's a strong woman, it automatically requires a much stronger man around her, right? Mm. So the challenge is for me, or and I think from many women who are in business, is to find a strong man who's able to keep up with her energy and her pace and still show up way stronger than she is. So at the end of the day, she still can feel very safe and protected because that's our basic need.
Mm.
So that's where I'm in the process of finding my stronger person like than me, who's also very ambitious, because personally for me, if I'm making this amount of money, I want my partner to be making way more. Just so.
Oof, that's a very controversial thing though. Like I understand all the, like maybe it's controversial, maybe it's not. I understand everything you said up until you're like, okay, I make seven figures. He needs to make 10.
Definitely.
Why?
I don't know. That's just how I feel.
Why?
Maybe it will change. You know, I'm not very solid in my decision.
I'm just trying to understand, why do you think like this?
I definitely want my partner to provide for me. So if I can provide a certain lifestyle for myself, then he has to be able to do that and more. Mm. And that's the stance that I have. And I think that's one of the issues that I face, that, you know, finding a partner. And it's also this, my partner, soulmate, has to be eating very healthy. I have like a whole stack of things, of requirements.
I mean, I do agree with some of what you say. Of course, at the end of the day, the man should be the main provider. And I've mentioned it before on this podcast, like, yes, men would not really, I wouldn't say they wouldn't care, but it would not be a major concern of how much the woman is making. The woman would not be with someone that does not make what I say is the same or more. So that's where my disagreement comes with you. You're like, no, he shouldn't even make the same. He should make more. Here is like the thing.
What do you guys think?
But I mean, of course, it's good to take
comment below.
Comment below, definitely. That it's a very interesting point that you raised.
It's an interesting one, definitely.
It's an interesting one. It's interesting to also, pick your brains to be able to dissect why you believe, you know, like you should be doing even much more. I mean, at the end of the day, the list of requirements, it's quite big. Okay, and it's not easy to find. I mean, again, we spoke about high value men before, me and you, and what it means, like someone who needs to take care of himself, works out,
eats healthy,
100% is able to provide for you, your family. But my point is, yes, that's a high value man that needs to be able to do all of those. But I also think like a couple can build something also together. You know what I mean? That's my perspective. I also respect what you're saying. I don't know if I agree with it 100%, but my fear and like, not my fear, but like my concern is that like, It's this setting the bar way too high. Like, I'm interested to see how your perceptions will change. Maybe they'll stay the same, and that's where you'll get. I mean,
I'm also very interested. I'm very curious.
At the end of the day, if someone like checks all your lists and like, okay, he also has a six-figure company, which is a very respectable amount, you know, and is let's say 2 or 3 years older than you, you would say like, no, you wouldn't.
I don't think I can.
Woman, guys, woman, yes, you gotta work your ass off. You make 6 figures, still not enough. It's fine. You see how we suffer, guys. It's your opinion, definitely.
And I don't know why. Like, I don't know why I have this opinion. I wish it was easier for me. But
I understand, okay, you get a six-figure guy, you know, like, but okay, and he's everything, but, and you still wouldn't take him just because of the money.
Like
I'm saying if it's everything, like, and it's just think, like, he makes the same as you.
Because I think, yeah, if he makes me feel the right way, I can.
But
think
why
about
is you know, like,
why is again, important?
No, someone who makes seven-figure company like yourself, seven-figure company, sorry if I said six, will be able
seven.
To... Seven, yes.
Seven.
Exactly. Will be able to provide security, financial stability, and everything now.
Like seven, it's like nine? At nine? Or it's like 7-1? Big difference.
Let's say it's a 3 or 4. She has to think about it. Okay. Interesting. I mean, I hope you find the success that you want in man, similar to what you did in business.
I actually will give you an update, a report.
I mean, write in your journal. Maybe that makes it.
I am.
I'm interested to read that journal. But so if we go back to the business, maybe where do you see it going? You know, you said your vision, you wanted to become one of the, I would say, is it considered dermatology medicines, you know,
yeah, it's organ, like a medical dermatology, skincare.
Medical skincare. Yeah. You want to become
number one
in the world. How do you envision making that happen?
The exact steps, we still don't know to that level. Right now, I see it like a good goal would be 100 million. Mm. Where we have our own manufacturing fully automated facility. Then we have different, fulfillment centers around the world. And if we can have, because the process of making this product is not a very simple process, you know, you cannot really, I'm not sure if you can automate it, but because it has egg yolk in it, you deal with eggs. You deal with beeswax.
It has lifetime,
it has shelf life.
12 months.
Yeah, but even it doesn't expire, really just loses its freshness. But because of the beeswax, it's a very nutrient-dense ingredient that when you apply, that can last for a very long time. Anything bee ingredient-wise, like bee propolis, bee pollen, beeswax, royal jelly, it's a very tremendously medicinal product for people to just take on a daily basis. Honey, amazing for your body and your skin.
Mm.
So.
And you want to put potentially your products in stores, pharmacies.
Yeah, right? that would be amazing. It's definitely a process, though. It's a lot to think of. Right now, if we can have a fully automated facility.
Mm.
And because I think for this product, it's 100% will be successful. And this company is going to make a very big impact in people's lives. I think it's a matter of time at this point.
One final question. What's your message to any entrepreneur out there? Woman entrepreneur also.
Woman and men, I think.
I think, yes, women and men are the same. But yeah. I think also like.
Woman
would look up to you.
Beautiful. So one advice is just follow your internal voice, especially women. They have a very much stronger internal voice. For men, business is a lot about like, you know, I need to provide. It's a lot on adrenaline. It's like I need to work. For women, it's a lot about their feelings and their gut feelings. So if you can hear yourself, and also a key is to cut out the external noises. Connect with yourself, hear yourself, envision what's this ultimate dream that, you know, the dream business that you want to build and start scripting it as you already have it.
Fantastic.
It's a beautiful advice.
Do you want to add anything? It's beautiful, but I like that you give yourself compliment. That's positive affirmation. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think we had amazing conversation.
Fantastic. It was a pleasure to have you. Ella, I wish you the best of luck. I don't know what you're going to do in that men's situation, but like in business, you got it.
Yeah, I got it in business.
Yeah. I look up to you in that aspect as well.
Thank you.
So best of luck and thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.